It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
You know, it still amazes me how that people during Christ's day when he walked this earth, it still amazes me how that people rejected him and why they rejected him. And of course, we know that he did all sorts of things to prove that he was the Son of God, that he is God. And we look at the miracles and the signs and wonders that were performed by him, and we just wonder, why didn't people believe? Well, you know, the Bible says in chapter 53 of the book of Isaiah, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. We wonder why people, as he walked this earth, rejected him. But you know, the same thing goes on today. People still reject the Son of Man, the Son of God, who is God and who was God in the flesh. God help people to know that Jesus Christ is the living Savior, and he's willing to save anyone who will come to him. I'm glad you could join me today for It's a Good Life. In our last study, study number 6 of the life of Christ, we looked at the fact that people of his day, of Christ's day, when he walked this earth, refused him, refused to receive him as prophet, as king, as savior, and so forth. And we see that happening even today, the rejection of Christ. Well, I made mention also of the fact that he went into Jerusalem and he came in, that the multitudes went before him. We want to read that today, and I want to look at that a little closer today. And I would call this study number 7 on the life of Christ, the happening or the royal entry of Christ. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 9, it says, "And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." In Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26, it says there, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord." And this is referring, once again, this is the same thing that the people were actually praying as he went in, what we call the triumphal entry, in Matthew 21, verse 9 there. In Luke chapter 19, verse 37 and 38, it says, "And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And I would have you to compare once again Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. In John chapter 8, verses 33 and 34, it says this, "They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, 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 I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." In other words, we're seeing here in John chapter 8, the rejection once again of the Savior as God. The realization of the prophecy of the coming Messiah was fulfilled. And Zechariah's prophecy speaks of the coming of Israel's Messiah King. In Zechariah 9:9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion." Remember now, they were rejoicing as he came into Jerusalem. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." And the prophet Daniel also prophesied of the coming of the Messiah in Daniel 9:25. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times." And this was speaking, of course, of Nehemiah. As we read in chapter 2, it talks about the rebuilding of the wall and how that the commandment went forth from the king to rebuild the wall.
And if you'll follow this timeline, you'll see that it was exactly 483 years until Messiah would be cut off, or until he came into Jerusalem riding upon that donkey. Well, people rejected Christ, and we see the realization of prophecy was fulfilled. The prophecy was given in the Old Testament, and these people should not have missed Jesus. Look at the detailed preparation with me now. The Lord gave explicit instructions to two disciples before he went into the city. In Matthew 21, verses 1 through 3, it says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them." Now whoever owned these animals, they understood that the prophecy was being fulfilled at that time. The Bible doesn't tell us who these people were who had these donkeys and these animals, but it tells us that when they heard the words of these men who went to get these animals, the person who was in charge of the animals knew exactly what was happening. The instructions the Lord gave the disciples was a fulfillment of prophecy. In Matthew 21, verses 4 and 5, and Zechariah 9:9, it says in Matthew 21, 4 and 5, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and colt the foal of an ass." Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon the colt, the foal of an ass." This is prophecy. This is something that was coming to pass as he came into Jerusalem and as the preparation was being made. In Matthew chapter 21, we read about a special day when Christ the King officially came to Jerusalem. And before Christ entered the city, he knew what the result would be, and he wept. In Luke 19:41, it says, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it." He knew that the people they gave mouth service without the heart. They did not have their hearts right with God. They did not give him full acknowledgement as the Messiah as he came into that city. Christ knew he would be rejected at that time as the Jewish king, and what that rejection would mean to the Jewish people in the future. In Luke chapter 19, verses 42 through 44, it says, "Saying, If thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." These people rejected Jesus at the time he came. They would not receive him. So Jesus said, that's sad. And he cried for these people. Well, notice the public presentation. The Lord enters Jerusalem. Jesus entered Jerusalem boldly. He entered noisily and defiantly, according to Matthew 21, verses 8 and 9. And it talks about that great multitude as he came in, and they cried and cried, "Hosanna in the highest." And did you stop to think of this, that Jesus actually entered Jerusalem as a wanted fugitive? In John chapter 11, verses 56 through 57, it says, "Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, What think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him." Well, Jesus was coming in fulfillment of prophecy, and he didn't come in trying to hide. He came in making a lot of noise, and the people, they made a lot of noise. And Jesus came in, although he was a wanted fugitive, as we would think of today. He was wanted by the law of that time, by the Jewish religious leaders, but yet he was not afraid to enter in and let people know that he was coming in and that he was there. And the time had come for the people to acknowledge the king. And that's the reason he came the way he did. You can read later on, Luke chapter 19, verses 37 through 40 talks about this. And the religious leaders were jealous and told the Lord to silence his disciples. Luke 19:39 says, "And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples." Well, the Lord's answer to them is found in Luke 19:40, and the actions that took place in Luke 19:45 and 47. And this caused the religious hypocrites to hate him even more. Luke 19:40 says, "And he answered and said," when they told him to tell his disciples to be quiet, "he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Well, this made the Pharisees and all those religious leaders even more angry, because they knew that Jesus was saying, "I am God. I am very God of God. I am the only God. I am the one who can save men, women, boys, and girls from a devil's hell." And this made these people very angry, the religious leaders. Well, notice the stirring acclamation, the multitude's reaction to the entrance of the king. In Matthew 21:8, it says, "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way." Now, it was customary for people in the East to welcome a king, a conqueror or deliverer, in the way Christ was welcomed. They were actually doing what they were supposed to do. And in 2 Kings 9:13, it says, "Then they hasted and took every man his garment and put it under him on the top of the stairs and blew with trumpets, saying, Jehu is king." So they were actually going through the motions of welcoming the king, Jesus, into that city. But the people not only acknowledged Christ as king by their actions, they also acknowledged him by their words. In Matthew 21:9, it says, "And the multitudes that went before and that followed, crying, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Well, these people, although they went through the motions, they still rejected the king. Well, I want you to notice with me the promise from the Word now. Words of encouragement for the Jewish nation. They had refused Jesus Christ at that time. As we read on, we find that there is coming a day when the Jewish people will recognize Jesus as King and Savior, and then they will be restored. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10 says, "And I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit, grace, and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." Zechariah 13:6 says, "And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." And at that time, these Jewish people, the Jewish nation, will recognize Jesus as the king, the one they rejected. They'll recognize the one they had crucified. They'll recognize him as the Messiah, the Savior, the one who came to seek and to save. And I wonder today about you. Have you received him as your Savior? Jesus wants to save you right now if you'll ask him to come into your heart. Don't reject him. Don't refuse to receive him into your heart. Ask him, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior right now." Let me remind you to look at our website, and you can find out more about how to go to heaven, lrwm.org.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.